It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Time for us now to ask a pastor a question for today is, what exactly is baptism in the Holy Spirit? What is that? And when does it happen? Do you remember there were times, I don't know, maybe I'm declaring my age now. There were times during the SEM when we were told, those of you who want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, come up front. We were kids then at high school in the 80s and 90s. And they would say, I give you power. And you're supposed to fall over. And then they would declare that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that is. You've seen on television how people have been told the Spirit is in this place. I can feel the Spirit in this place. And then the pastors would throw their jackets in their feet and they wave their hands in the air and the whole church just goes boo. Is that baptism of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. And then there's what the Bible calls the first Pentecost, yeah? The Pentecost encounter where there were tongues, what appeared to be tongues of fire on top of the disciples in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came. You remember the experience? I don't know. What exactly is this baptism in the Holy Spirit? When does it happen? Joining us now to give us an answer, to help us, to educate us, is Pastor Joseph Farah. Pastor, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for answering our question today.
Thank you so much and what an introduction. Wonderful and exciting.
So our question is clear, Pastor. What is baptism in the Spirit and when does it happen?
Okay. All right. So before we get to what it means to say baptism of the Holy Spirit, we must be very clear on the word baptism itself or to get baptized. So, from our understanding is that to baptize simply means to immerse, you know, to be dipped into. I think on this one, we have no problem. And when we come now to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when does it happen? Baptism of the Holy Spirit, this happens at conversion. When the grace of God has been extended to you, you know, when you realize that God is good, and it is written in Romans chapter 3, verse 2, which says, the goodness of God leads to repentance. When you realize that God has been good and kind to you, that goodness, that forbearance of God will lead you to repentance. So before you are actually dipped into the water, this baptism has already taken place. The conviction, you know, you have your heart, your mind has already been convicted. And then, you know, this experience that you are going to have internally will eventually manifest itself on the day that you are actually going to be baptized.
Okay, so I'm not quite sure I understand, Mfundisi. Perhaps I should read a text for you, and then you can clarify this. John the Baptist appears to have some knowledge of this baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is what these Pentecostals tend to throw at us, and perhaps you as an Adventist pastor can elucidate what exactly is the correct exegesis and then the correct hermeneutic of this text. It's under the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 reads as follows. This is John speaking, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with, yes, you guessed it, the Holy Spirit and fire. And so you hear these pastors say, fire, fire! I don't know if that's what it means, but help me understand what this verse means, because John, the one person who introduced the concept of baptism to Bible readers, is now introducing yet another concept, the baptism of water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then the baptism of fire. Very interesting concepts coming through here from John. What exactly does all this mean, Mfundis?
Okay. So we understand the role that John was playing, that he was just a forerunner, you know. He was a forerunner of Jesus, preparing the way. And he also acknowledged, because, you know, the practice of baptism was done even, you know, among the Jewish practice, you know, the issues of cleansing and things like that.
No. There was cleansing, which is not baptism. And then John comes with baptism. Before John, there was never any baptism. There was a cleansing, ritual cleansing, which was not immersing the whole body underwater. It was cleansing, not baptism.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let's take it that way. So when John is preparing the way, he is introducing Jesus to say, "Me, I'm baptizing you with water. But the one who is coming, he is going to baptize you with fire. And he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This one also was an indication to say there is going to be the Spirit, you know, like what we witnessed when there was Day of Pentecost, when there was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was evidenced using the tongues of fire, as it were, on that particular day. So now, when John says, "I baptize you with water for repentance."
Sorry, are you saying what happened in the upper room was indeed baptism by fire and Holy Spirit? Are you confirming it?
What happened, I may not really call it baptism, but they were receiving the Holy Spirit.
So that's what we're trying to establish today. Not necessarily receiving, but this concept of baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what we're trying to establish, not just receiving. We understand long before John, there were men and women who received the Holy Spirit, like Samson is known to have had the Holy Spirit, Elijah, and many, many, many more who had the Holy Spirit. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the concept that John is talking about of baptism in the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to talk about baptism of fire. So clarify that. What is that?
Okay. When you're talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is the concept where you are talking about. Let me not restrict myself to John and his teachings, but let me get to Acts, where when these disciples have received the Holy Spirit, they begin to speak in tongues, because this is where it is getting a bit of interest today, where I think that is the example you gave in your preamble, where people are now called to say, "Hey, come and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." So the question is, why should that happen? Or why is what is the importance of the Holy Spirit in our...
No, Mfundisi. That's not our question. Our question is, what is baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Okay. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is the regeneration. You know, the regeneration. I think the challenge I'm having is what is in the minds of the Pentecostals.
Okay.
And what we understand as baptism of the Holy Spirit as Adventists.
Right.
These are two different things.
Absolutely.
So let me give you the Adventist perspective, and then also give you the Pentecostal perspective.
No, you can ignore the Pentecostal version, Mfundisi. We just want people to get the answer of what is the biblical version. Because the Pentecostals and any other denomination may have their own interpretations. We're not interested in that. We want the correct and the biblical one.
Okay, so the correct interpretation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when does it occur? It happens at the time of conversion. When someone has received the message, and then they decide there's this awakening that has taken place inside them. So when this happens, the Spirit of God has convicted their hearts, and they want to have a turn around. to have a change of heart so that they can begin the new journey. You know, they begin the new walk. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It happens before the water baptism. So it precedes the water baptism.
Right.
Because this is the conviction that somebody has received. Now, you remember that there's a portion, I think, in Acts when Paul says, when you got baptized, did you also receive baptism of the Holy Spirit? And then the people said, we don't even know what that is. We have even never heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What we just received was the baptism of John in reference to the water baptism.
So you're saying baptism of the Holy Spirit comes before the physical water baptism?
Yes.
Yo, Mfundisi, you're confusing me even worse now. Okay, so let me bring you to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, verse 38. It says, Peter, now this is Peter, this is post-Christ. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. According to Peter here, it appears as though first it's the baptism of water, then subsequently the Holy Spirit. I'm confused. Help me with this. Help.
Okay. So logically, it sounds like that. But you cannot decide to get into the water without conviction from the Spirit of God that you need to be baptized.
Yeah.
Actually, even for you to make a decision to say, I want to be baptized, it is not you. It is the Spirit of God working in you to convict you to say you need to do this good thing and you need to have a change of mind. You need to have a change of heart. So the Spirit of God would have been working already on your heart. So that is why we say baptism, it is an outward expression. The water baptism, it is an outward expression of what has taken place inside.
Yeah, let's talk about the spirit baptism. That's
so
our nub for today.
Pardon?
Yeah, our nub for today, our focus is the spirit baptism, not the water baptism.
Yes, so that one, it is the one which is preceding the water one. So now when you have been convicted, when you have been convicted to say you are a sinner, you need to turn around. That is when it takes place, at the point of conversion.
Okay.
And so, then when the Spirit of God has come, when you have been convicted, when the Spirit of God has come, He will now begin to empower you, because the life now you begin to live, it is not your life. It is the life of Christ who lives in you.
Okay. So do we have some biblical evidence to suggest this chronology that you're saying is not correctly captured by Peter here in the book of Acts? You're suggesting this chronology that is presented here by Peter is somewhat incorrect?
Not really correct or not correct. You know, the call.
Say that again.
Come and get baptized and then you receive. I'm saying Peter is making a call after he has preached his sermon.
Right.
You know, he is making a call to say, repent and be baptized so that you receive the gift of the Spirit.
Right.
So we should not be carried by the conjunction to say, once you have been baptized, then the Spirit of God is going to come. Because for you to get baptized, you don't do that out of your own will, but it is the Spirit of God working in you to will and to do.
So that's why I'm asking, Funis, do we have any biblical support for this chronology you're suggesting is dissimilar from that one of Peter?
It is actually not dissimilar. It is just one and the same thing. It is one and the same thing, except We want to think that when we get baptized, then the Spirit of God is going to come.
Okay.
But then the argument is, you can't get baptized out of your own will. Even if it sounds like it is you who is willing to do that.
Okay.
But it is God working in you, both to will and to do.
Yeah.
And these are the writings of Paul.
Okay.
To say anything that is good that a man can do, we don't do it because we want to do it.
I accept that, Mpunis. I don't dispute that. I suspect perhaps I personally, as a lay person, am struggling with the concept of baptism by the Holy Spirit, or of the Holy Spirit, and the workings of the Holy Spirit, which don't really need baptism at all. We've seen the Holy Spirit working in the Old Testament, and there was never a need for baptism of the water. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was. I'm confused by, but I'm going to be keeping you in longer than you should, Mfunis.
No problem.
Let's talk some other time. Perhaps I'll invite you to my Saturday program, Mfunis, where we have 2 hours to discuss these things.
Okay, but before you go, because it's not just you, but everyone who is listening, our take-home message is that when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes to help you make correct decisions. And that is why Jesus says, I am going to leave you with a comforter. He's going to remind you all things. And he will lead you to the truth. He will lead you to the truth. So, like you have given a very good example, before the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was already working,
right?
Even when there was no baptism.
Right.
So people in the Old were convicted of the Holy Spirit. They were enabled. The Spirit of maybe the reason is, why should there be this baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is to enable us to produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, kindness, and all these things, which must begin to manifest even before somebody goes into the water baptism, so that people can see that baptism, which is the water baptism, is actually a miracle to say the Spirit of God really has transformed this person from being a criminal to a good person.
Okay. No, let's leave it there, Mpunis. I'm running out of time. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you very much for your answers. Oh, perhaps I really should invite you, Mpunis, so we can have this conversation.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll call you, Mpunis. I'll let you know when. All right, that's our Pastor Joseph Farah, answering our question for today. What is baptism of the Holy Spirit, and when? When does it happen? I tell you, we need a study on this, and the pastor has... Well, agreed. He is looking forward to the conversation. We'll let you know when.